VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
What do you know? It's Saturday again. Feels like it was just Saturday. And now it's Saturday again. Maybe that's how we all get old so fast. Anyway, since it is Saturday, since it is 10 o'clock, and since we are on the First Coast, we might as well do the program. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And?
Marshall Gallup.
Marshall has very kindly joined us today. He is a reverse mortgage specialist. We're going to talk a lot about the reverse mortgage, obviously, today. In fact, if you want to talk about anything else, you're going to have to call us.
And what's that number?
904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. So if you want to control the content of the show, all you got to do is pick up the phone. Otherwise, we're going to be talking a lot about the reverse mortgage, one of the most misunderstood and maligned products I have ever been witness to, and not without some good reason, because it was poorly used for a while. It's been poorly represented and poorly presented. It is actually now a very viable long-term personal financial planning tool. We have worked with Marshall on several cases. We're going to do a lot more of them, and we're going to get into that. I promise you, this topic will not be beaten to death in only one show. There will be follow-ups on it. It is a very broad and complex subject. Knowing what you can do is always our goal here. Not necessarily what to do exactly, that's a personal thing, but knowing what can be done will allow you to ask the right questions of the right people, and you never know, you might just come up with some solutions. Anyway, welcome back to all the regulars. Thank you. You're the reason we're here. If you're new to the show because somebody told you about it or you're driving by, stick with us for a while. I think you might find it interesting and entertaining and a lot of fun. I do have a public service announcement for a little bit later, and it involves two of my favorite subjects, cancer society and dogs. So you put the two together, and what you've got is a real nice message. So that'll be coming up. And just anything else we can think of, it has been a wild and woolly period of time since the election. It has impacted your money, as we said it would. It has impacted your money very positively, as we weren't 100% sure it would, but we knew it should. So we'll get into that a bit, too. And anything else I can think of along the way, I could probably just sit here and babble for an hour, but I will spare you, as I like to do. So anyway, I'll let Adam tell you what went on for the week and a little bit about how to get a hold of us. And then in the second segment, we're going to really dive in with Marshall and get into the nitty-gritty of the home equity conversion mortgage, commonly known as the reverse mortgage. So another fun week.
Yeah, not too bad. We continued our post-election rally, but at a much slower pace than last week, which we had to happen because last week was out of control.
Yes,
the volume also trended down after all the craziness of last week. But overall, it kind of meant that the markets were either calm or uncertain or maybe both. I tend to go with uncertain because there's a tremendous amount that the markets don't know about Trump. And he is not officially the president yet, but he is obviously going to be, and he's making a lot of moves right now to fill his cabinet. And with each of those appointments, the market seems to kind of react differently. This week, it was very calm, but I can tell that more volatility is coming.
I would have to agree. You know, there are two parts to that. There's a lot they don't know about him, but there's also a lot they know about him that isn't true.
That is also true. The market's also pricing in over a 90% chance of a rate hike in December. So that's having an effect on a lot of different asset classes right now.
If I were the type to do this, I would slam dunk guarantee you a rate hike in December, but I'm not, so I won't. But it's very likely.
Yeah, and Janet Yellen almost said as much this week with her comments. So
not that we haven't had our own rate hike without the Fed doing anything, as Angela and Howard were saying.
They were absolutely right. Just look at the mortgage rates this week. I don't want to say skyrocketed, but they took a big move northward.
Well, we've gone from a yield curve that flatlined to a curve.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, you know, if you listen to us long enough, you know how happy that makes us.
Yeah, finally.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
About time. Savers are going to start making a little bit of money on their CDs and such. It won't happen immediately, but it's coming.
It sure is. So for the week, the NASDAQ and the Dow both hit all new all-time highs, but the S&P didn't. It got close, but it didn't quite make it.
Except on the equal-weighted version.
Right, but that's not really an official index.
But yeah. It is an interesting way to invest for people who are interested in such things. If you're into indexing, it's a really good thing to look at.
Yeah, definitely. And what that is, instead of cap weighting, where the largest companies take up the most share of your ETF, if you buy an equal weighted index, that means that each company is weighted the same. So you get a lot more exposure on the small cap, or not small cap, but smaller cap.
Yeah, it knocks Apple down to a couple percent
instead of
15 to 20 or so.
Although Apple recently did a little bit of that to themselves.
Yeah, it's cutting back on its own.
The NASDAQ was the one that gained the most this week at 1.6%, while the Dow was up only 0.1% and the S&P was up 0.8%. So the biggest gains that we've seen since last week have been in financials and industrials, while utilities, technology, real estate, and consumer staples have actually all declined. This rally has really been separated by market cap, though, as the Schwab Small Cap Index, which is the ticker symbol SCHA, is up 11.79% in the last 2 weeks, while the Vanguard S&P 500 index, ticker symbol VOO, is up 4.7%. The small caps are really rallying more than the large caps, and it's due to the lack of international exposure. The theory behind this is that the Trump presidency is going to be better for companies whose revenue comes exclusively in the United States versus the large multinational corporations with revenues and manufacturing coming from all over the world. So if you've been in small caps in the last 2 weeks, you're probably the big winner. While stocks have been rallying since the election, the global bond market has seen its worst two-week period in 25 years. The U.S. bond market hasn't been as bad, but is still down over 2% in the last 2 weeks. If you're on the sidelines about filling out part of your fixed income portfolio, this might be a good time to go ahead and make some of those buys, because you don't see the bond market move down 2% very often.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful of anything with a long duration, though. As we talked about, we're heading into a rising interest rate environment, and long duration is going to get hit worse than short duration, most likely.
In theory, at least.
Yeah,
that usually translates into practice. The bond market is so efficient that you can pretty much generalize about what will happen.
Yeah, that's true. It is a lot more, I guess, transparent than the equity market. Earnings season has pretty much wrapped up, with 62% of companies beating their estimates on the bottom line and 53% on the top line. These results fall somewhere between meh and ho-hum. Mm-hmm. Just not a great season, not terrible, but kind of just mirrors this economic recovery that's kind of been blah. And although we've seen a great bull run in the stock market, the whole recovery in general just has gone way slower than historical recoveries. The sectors with the highest beat rates right now are ironically performing worse over the last 2 weeks, with utilities and technology actually having the highest beat rates but performing the worst. So a very unusual type of earnings seasons in that way as well. At the same time, the material sector had one of the worst beat rates and has been one of the best performing sectors over the last 2 weeks.
Go figure, huh?
Yeah, weird.
All right, our trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. What sport is responsible for the development of the reverse mortgage? It's more or less a financial question, not exactly, but it's certainly related to the topic of the day. All right, we got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be a lot of fun. We'll get Marshall into his subject matter very quickly. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Love that money tune, especially when there's more money than there used to be out there. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And?
Marshall Gallup.
I explained before the break that Marshall is a specialist in reverse mortgages, and you know what it's like being in a regulated business out there. The first thing we're going to do is a short disclaimer that I guess it'll be self-explanatory for all of you, and then we're going to get into the real meat of the subject matter. So take it away, Marshall.
Marshall Gallup, NMLS number 450841, 312 Wingstone Drive, Ponte Vedra, area code 904-662-2634, Georgia Mortgage Lender License 36793, Georgia Originator License 48049, Originator authorized to originate in Georgia and Florida.
And similar to the disclaimer that we use twice in the show, it says we only do business in places where we're licensed or will become licensed or there is no need to be so. So we all have to be very, very careful in a regulated business because ears are listening out there. All right, Adam, a quick note about we know how to get a hold of Marshall, which we're also going to put, we'll link him on our website. So if you're interested in following up on the subject matter of the reverse mortgage, you can go to our site. You don't have to remember how to get to his right away until we send you there. So getting a hold of us, real easy, right?
Yeah, the best way to do it is on our website, which is www.vanweefinancial.com. And if you don't know how to spell our last name, it's difficult but not impossible. It's VanWie, or for those in the military, Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo. So check out our website. We're going to post something from Marshall from our talk today in our blog section, and it'll have links to everything we discuss, and you'll be able to either contact Marshall or contact us if you have any questions.
All right, a little background, and remember our trivia question. It is, there is a sport that is responsible for the actual development of the first reverse mortgage. We want to know what that sport is. That was way back in 1961. Normally what you hear from all the celebs that are doing the promotion of these things is that it goes all the way back to Ronald Reagan. That is technically not correct. However, it was under Reagan that the federalization of the program actually got started. Thank you to a now deceased senator, John Hines. He of ketchup fame and of Teresa Hines Carey fame. He is the one who made her rich when his airplane crashed, and that, I can only say, is a shame. He was a good guy. Anyway, he introduced it, got the Congress interested in it, and under Reagan, it was codified into the law. And the important part of that was that that's when the federal guarantees were put on. That's why they do actually credit Reagan as being the founder, because it doesn't work for me without that guarantee in it. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't be the same. It got off to a rocky start. They used celebrities like Fred Thompson and Henry Winkler and so on to promote it. And I think we all have just a little bit of an inherent bias when we hear a celebrity touting anything because of the constant babble that comes out of the Hollywood sector, and which is almost universally things that I disagree with. But what they're telling is the truth. And we're going to tell you how and why, and we're going to do it the old-fashioned way. We're going to ask the expert. So take it away, Marshall. We'll be the color, you be the play-by-play.
So what is a reverse mortgage?
You know, I think the best explanation of that, Adam, is the National Council on Aging did a booklet that we lenders share with every client. It's called Using Your Home to Stay in Your Home. The reverse mortgage is a sophisticated financial planning tool geared to allow those over 62 to use the equity in their home to allow them to stay in their home. It's not to take out money to make investments. It's to complement an investment plan. Oh, by the way, they don't have a plan. They need to get a plan.
Who could do that?
We would agree with that.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's why we've had problems from time to time.
And on an aside that's very related, if your financial person can't talk about things other than your investments, what the heck good is your financial person? Get a certified financial planner. We talk about all this stuff in our meetings. Just threw in the little shameless self-promotion moment.
Well, and as I mentioned to you just a minute ago, there's a professor by the name of Wade Fau, P-F-A-U, who has done some outstanding research and recently wrote a book that I think is a little bit more consumer-oriented, still using a lot of his research, and I've shared it with a number of my financial planners. You can find it on Amazon. Look up Wade Fau.
We'll put a link to it.
There'll be a link on the Van Wee site. That will really give you some of the proof that this is a valid product. It might not be perfect for an individual, but everyone over 62 with equity in their home, buying a home using a lot of equity, should take a look at it and then see how that fits with their plan.
So let's say for our listeners who may have heard of the product but aren't really sure how it works, if you're over 62 and you own your own home and have some equity, what happens when you get a reverse mortgage?
Okay. For the person that has about 50% equity in their house, they're probably not going to get much more than enough to pay off their existing mortgage.
Okay.
So what does that do for them? That eliminates a principal and interest payment being made.
So if you're house rich and cash poor.
Exactly.
Boom.
You've now made a change in your budget. Mm-hmm. That might be all the difference needed for somebody. As you have more equity in your property, then you have more options available that you'll have some reserves left over after you pay off any current mortgage. A lot of people go out and get a home equity line of credit on their free and clear house because they can't get ends to meet. Well, that's really exasperating their problem because now you've added another monthly payment to have to make. With the reverse mortgage, payments are flexible. You don't have to make a payment. And FHA rewards the tightwad. I love that terminology because someone who has available credit from a reverse mortgage that takes their time using it is rewarded by FHA in more in their, let's call it a rainy day fund line of credit. So the whole gear is using your home to stay in your home. Now, who's it not for?
I think it's almost intuitively obvious why it's a good idea to stay in your home, but there have been a lot of studies done on this too. People live longer, are happier, much less depression, which is a really common thing in older people and something that the doctors are very concerned about now. So staying in your home, I'm going to just stipulate, is a good idea if that's what you would prefer.
I think every study has shown typically the least expensive place for those of us over the age of 62 to stay is in the home we're living in.
Yeah, and I wasn't even talking about the monetary aspects, but you're exactly right. Those other places are really, well, they're profit centers, let's face it.
Well, it's important to get to the right home. I mean, Howard and Angela will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the right home. Don't have this big, monstrous home that you really don't need. Get a home that works for you. Then stay there because at some point in time, some one or the other might be needing a little extra help. It's not that hard to get some care to come in for 3 hours a day to help out. That allows you to stay in your home longer term because when you finally move to assisted living, to independent care, to an apartment, typically it's going to be a more expensive situation.
Kind of interesting that we're sandwiched in between the real estate show and Tula's tips for caregivers because
it's a good topic.
She's really big on the caregiving and the long-term care. So we're kind of bridging the gap today. You can look at it as a three-hour show.
Yeah, that's funny that worked out that way.
Yeah, so that was unintentional, but it just kind of passed quickly from my left ear to my right.
I think the discussion so far leads us to maybe dispelling some myths about the reverse mortgage. You hear it so often, and I know it's wrong, and I think everyone at this table knows it's wrong, but some of our listeners may not. Is it true that they can take your home if you have a reverse mortgage?
It is true if you default on your reverse mortgage.
So,
like your traditional mortgage.
Yep, which is done by?
The only ways you default is, one, move out of the house as your primary residence.
Okay.
Two, don't pay your real estate taxes. Mm-hmm. Three, don't keep your house insured properly. Four, don't pay your homeowner's association dues. You realize that 80% of new homes today are in a homeowners association?
I did not know that.
They can take precedence over a mortgage. They can foreclose that interest. So that is a default on the loan. But as long as somebody is paying those items, living in their home, they could live to be 140, and the rules on the reverse they closed into will not change. One very important reason why: FHA insurance.
Right.
FHA is insuring. Even if the mortgage servicer is gone, you're going to get exactly what you signed up for.
And we're going to have more of that good news after the break, too, because I will dispel another one of those misconceptions that your heirs are going to be stuck with your bills, and that is just not the case. I'm also going to ask Marshall a little background on why so many people are negative on this. I think it's justifiable from the way these things were originated. People use them for the wrong reasons. They had the wrong intent. The people who were writing them would be willing to write it to anybody, anytime, without any consideration of what the long-term consequences might be. All that's changed. In fact, I'll have Marshall talk a little bit about the underwriting that goes into these, too. I have learned an awful lot dealing with him about the whys and wherefores. All right, don't go anywhere. We will be right back after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Marshall Gallup.
I have a couple of things. First off, this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. It's a great time to be doing those things that you didn't get around to in the summer because it was too hot or things were growing too fast. It's perfect. I have a public service announcement. I'm blending dogs and the Cancer Society. There is an event that will be held on January 21st, 2017. That's the first time I've actually said that. At Dogwood Park, which is on Salisbury Road, I believe, not terribly far from where we sit right now. Anyway, it is a fundraiser for the American Cancer Society, and I don't know anybody who hasn't been touched by that one. It's called the Bark for Life, and there is a website up. You can go to relayforlife.org/BarkSouthsideFL, and we will link to that on our website to make it easier for you too. But it's the Bark for Life. It's an event for dogs and people with a really good cause. So like, if everybody goes out there, you can sponsor something, you can go, you can do whatever you want. But I'll be bringing that up in some future shows also. All right, we were talking in the break a little bit about whether or not the bad publicity and the bad feelings people have for the reverse mortgage were actually justified. And I contend that it was more or less justifiable because the early ones were not planned well. They were just executed, and I think a lot of people wound up in a lot of trouble. So I'm going to throw that to Marshall, and I'll let him, as someone who's been around this business for his adult life, give him a little more perspective than I ever had.
Yes, Steve, there had been a number of people in the call center environment who had focused on getting people to take all the possible money they could take out of their house. FHA recognized that as a challenge and made some adjustments to the program, so it was harder to do that. Honestly, that really has helped a lot because some companies focus on retail people like myself. Actually, as a traditional mortgage banker, I went and called on realtors and builders. Now I'm calling on financial planners and just getting referrals from banks and other people who say, oh, you want to talk about reverse mortgage? I got a friend, Marshall, that's all he's done for a good while. That's where you can get the right information. So we go back to, this is an excellent financial planning tool. If it's used as a Band-Aid over a major problem somebody has that this doesn't fix, that's where people have gotten in trouble. For example, my mother called me one day and said, you know, I think it's time I move. Somebody's going to find me in the yard one day. She was rather elderly, loved to be out in the yard watering the flowers. She could have used a reverse mortgage, stayed in the home, but the home was no longer the best place for her to live. She moved into a senior's apartment. it was a much better place for her to live. That person doesn't need to get a reverse mortgage. And when they do, all it's doing is putting off the eventuality. My mother was able to sell her house, take the equity that she got out of it, help that last for the rest of her life. So there are times when that's not a good thing.
That's pretty much true of anything. Any product out there, there are always people who are going to sell the product to anybody who can fog up a mirror, whether or not they need it. In fact, I wrote an article, I'll never forget this, probably 15 years ago, and I was pretty new in this business, and it was about somebody being called a great salesman because, and I quote, he could sell an icebox to an Eskimo. That made him a great salesman back in the 80s. But my contention was, what if that Eskimo didn't need that icebox? Does that make him a great salesman? Not to me. We don't offer our services to people who don't need it. In fact, it's very typical if we get people in to have a consultation, which, by the way, is always free. If you go to our website, you can schedule one. Again, shameless self-promotion moment. But it is very typical that we'll tell them, you're doing fine. You don't really need us. Go away. But if somebody does need us, we'll be the first ones all over them to say, you really need some help. Typically, this goes back to my discussion about why these things were so bad. People would wind up being broke, but they had some equity in their house. So they go to get a reverse mortgage, to get a lump sum of cash, and they blow it all, and now they're broke and poor.
Exactly.
And it's not often that you will sit here and find us saying that government regulations did a good job. But in this case, they absolutely did. They cleaned up an industry that needed to be cleaned up, and I think the end result speaks for itself. Today, it's a very good financial tool, whereas back in the day, it was being sold improperly.
And we were talking in the break about Adam's experience going to some of the local meetings for things like the FPA, and he'll discuss these things with other planners, and the response he gets is, oh, they're so expensive, we don't use them, we wouldn't even consider it, that kind of thing. Talk a little about the money involved to get one of these closed, because it has changed.
Steve, it's changed dramatically. When I first got exclusively into reverse in 06, I would do a class, and typically a $200,000 loan had almost $20,000 in costs.
Wow,
that's high.
That was what was done. Because of the way the loans had to be packaged to be sold, essentially every one of them got sold to Fannie Mae. Right through the window. It was not a very sophisticated program.
Which is why at the time they were known as the product of last resort.
Yes. Today, the product, my personal opinion is, we do a more sophisticated job of selling our investments into the securities community than the traditional mortgage banker does with that first mortgage, 30-year fixed rate conventional. It's a much more sophisticated product. We've got the people who understand it running our industry now, and we're very focused on doing it as it fits for somebody. So, for example, I was doing the class at FBA for the planners. I was showing an example of a $625,000 home that someone was getting a line of credit. I want to say our line of credit was around 300 something. The actual cash that they were coming up with or costs, they were actually financing. So the costs to do that loan was the cost of the note stamps, which is about 0.5%.
Which you're going to pay on a traditional mortgage
right, as
well.
You in the state of Florida, it. You've got note stamps, intangible tax, title insurance. There are certain fixed costs you're going to pay if you get a mortgage loan. Because in our state, we have higher than other states. In Georgia, I've done the same loan for $125.
And they have an income tax and we don't. So yes. Every state will get you, trust me. They don't run on a shoestring.
Now, that is a loan where somebody has a substantial amount of equity. They don't have a mortgage to pay off. They're just setting up a line of credit. And they're using it to enhance their financial plan. That is the least expensive product. FHA made that available in the recent years because they realized the value of it. And people like Dr. Pfau are teaching planners how to use it. The planners that are ignoring it are really, I would say maybe violating their fiduciary responsibility with their clients where it might have enhanced their program.
I agree with that.
I do too.
Yeah, if you're ignoring a major area of financial planning that is available, it's not for everybody, but it's available, I think you're not doing your job as a planner.
I absolutely agree. There's a couple things, and we'll get to these after the break, but there is first off a notion that I've always adhered to that says when you have equity in your home, it's non-working capital from the standpoint of investors. So this has the potential to unlock a lot of that. But there's some neat new stuff that they've come out with. One of them that I'm particularly fond of is the reverse mortgage to purchase. And this is something that I want to dwell on a little bit after the break, because this is something that will allow you to go somewhere to your home, let's say the home before your final home, and get into a neighborhood that you might otherwise not be able to get into. It might allow you to buy a better house than you could, and it will, more importantly in some respects, it will free up a lot of your cash so you can literally have your cake and eat it too. You can live where you want to, you can have money to invest, and you don't have all that non-working capital. And the neatest thing of all about all of these is you never have to make a payment if you don't want to. So hang on if you want to know more about that. We'll be right back after the break. I still want to know what sport is responsible for the advent of the reverse mortgage. It's a sort of a little personal heartwarming story underneath it all. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be back shortly. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And with us,
Marshall Gallup.
I want to remind everyone that most of the financial shows that you will listen to, if you tune in next week, you will hear a rerun because it is a holiday weekend. So tune in here instead. You will hear us live and in person, as always. By the way, that goes for Christmas Eve also. We'll be the only ones around that are here. I can pretty much promise you that. A lot of them never go live anyway, but we never miss unless there's a hurricane or if the holiday falls right on the day, then the station will lock us out. But other than that, we're going to be here, so don't miss it. All right, we're talking with Marshall Gallup about reverse mortgages, and we were comparing some notes in the break, and I just loved the example that Marshall was talking about. So can you kind of lay it out for us?
On the credit line?
Yeah, the credit line on top of the mortgage itself.
Essentially what happens with the credit line, FHA was rewarding you for being a tightwad. So let's just say there was $300,000 of available. And certainly I need to say you need to see a good faith estimate. You need to see a truth in lending. You need to see an amortization schedule. Mm-hmm. But I want to give you this big picture just to have a sense. A $300,000 line of credit today is growing in how much is available at over 6%. So that means at the end of a year, there's another $1,800 available. Did I get that right? I'm not good on math.
Sure.
So it's now $301,800 available line of credit. This is FHA rewarding someone for taking only what they really need. That growth could be what you draw. So you take $1,800 if you still have an available line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
That is a tremendous, $19,080.
There you go.
That is a tremendous complement to a good plan. It's a great, as Professor Pfau says, the ultimate financial shock absorber.
And a little something that a lot of people may not know, if we have another 2008 and your property values fall, too bad for everybody but you, right?
Absolutely. FHA is insuring the terms of the mortgage no matter what happens. So you know it's going to be there. You have built kind of a financial firewall to help over time. And that gives a planner a lot of other room to work. For my wife and I, you know, we look at when she turns 62, which is about a year from now, we'll put one
sure
on our
she's
house.
She's thrilled to be reminded.
She already
like,
knows.
Like
she
me saying knows. That Adam just yes. turned 40 a couple weeks ago.
Thanks.
It
again.
Happens.
Yeah. It does.
But
if you're lucky.
That becomes the great shock absorber. We don't have to leave as much money sitting in a savings account because we can tap this. We can keep our cost of living in our house because of mortgage costs lower. We can have, you know, to go along with the long-term care policy we've got now, that's another level to help. Or for those who don't have a long-term care policy, hey, here's something to help make those payments that you need to make.
And those payments, when you take them out of there, A, you never have to make a payment, never have to pay it back. And two, it is never taxable.
It is
your
not
equity coming to you.
Absolutely. It is
that
not.
That makes it astounding. Income. Tax-free income. You know, all those people that are touting the municipal bonds, they've got their cash tied up in there. It's okay if you want tax-free income from muni bonds, but how about letting your house give you tax-free income? Now, if your kids don't want the house ever, which I think I would say for sure that most of our clients do not live anywhere where their kids would be at all interested in owning the home. So what is the estate left with? Whatever balance there is on the house. Yeah, and as we said earlier, if you live so long that the balance of that reverse mortgage is so high that you can't get it out of the house, Uncle Sam pays it. Your estate doesn't pay it. Your children don't pay it.
But if there is equity,
they get it.
You get up to a year to sell the house, the executor does, to take that equity and put it into the estate. So again, FHA has created that financial firewall. You know what the worst case scenario is. All the better scenarios can accrue to you.
That's why we said in the introduction to the whole topic that Reagan rightly deserves the credit, even though he didn't invent the product or the people that went to him didn't invent it. But because they codified that guarantee at the government level into it, that is the reason that this works, so your heirs don't have a thing to worry about. So it became, with that little move, a viable planning process, in my opinion, from that day on.
And let me mention one thing about that. Understand that FHA is an insurance company. They are receiving premiums that are shown in all our documentation. That's not additional money you're writing a check for. That's paid in the loan. They're receiving those premiums so they can make those guarantees. And those guarantees are not a further burden on the taxpayer. That is very, very different from what Fannie and Freddie did. Fannie and Freddie never put a penny away in insurance.
No, they paid
it all.
They
took all those risks.
Executives.
And it went against the corporation.
Yep.
So FHA actuarially is audited every year to report to Congress. That's why we've had tweaks from time to time that have kept it as a valid program that is financially sound.
All right. From a purely technical standpoint, how long does it take to actually get a reverse if you decide from the initial meetings that it's something that's probably going to fit your needs, whether it's to buy a new place or to stay in your old place? How long is the process?
And to follow that up, what kind of underwriting is involved in that process?
Yeah, that's true, because a lot of people say, well, there is no underwriting. That's not exactly true.
Typically, it takes about 30 days, unless there's something strange about the title on the property, something unique about someone's finances. We just went to what we call financial assessment a couple of years ago, whereas before we did not do much in the way of qualifying. Now, we're trying to prove, yes, there is sufficient income for this couple to handle their existing obligations, meaning any mortgage payment they have on another property, any other obligations, as well as has the income to pay their taxes, insurance, and HOA dues, which are crucial to us keeping them out of default. That's what we're underwriting. We're also looking at credit from a standpoint of what is their willingness, what has been the history of their willingness to pay those items. Have they always paid their taxes on time? Have they paid their homeowner's insurance? Have they paid their homeowner's association dues? That is what we're staying very focused on so that they do. It is a much less restrictive underwriting set of guidelines than anything other than the VA loan program, because we use VA credit standards and residual guide. So it's a really, I will say this, 95% of the people that I've dealt with since FA went into action, their Social Security income was sufficient to qualify.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because it is.
I think a lot of people who are considering this are on Social Security, mm-hmm. maybe exclusively as their retirement income.
So. And in fact, the purchase, we were talking discussing the purchase. Mm-hmm. You can buy a home for as little as half of the price, mm-hmm. approximately half, depending upon your age.
Which means you can get a better location or a better house without paying more money.
You just sold your present home and you walked away with $200,000. Now you can buy a house approaching $400,000 and have no principal and interest payment. Is that the best thing for you? No, you have to analyze that. But it is possible.
Again, our goal here is to tell you what can be done, not what to do. If you want to know what to do, call us and we'll come in and we'll talk about it. The whole concept, it has such a tainted reputation, I guess, that what I'm trying to do here, and we will discuss this in future shows also, I'm trying to get the stigma off of it. Very typically, when we get somebody in, their personal plan is that I got this time, so as I walk out of that job, I'm going to make my last mortgage payment. Well, now all of a sudden, they got 100% equity in a home, but it's all potentially investable money. Were they to sell the home, maybe only half of it should be used for that.
I call it their coffee can in the backyard savings account.
Exactly. All right, the way this was developed, there was a fella in, I think it was Washington State.
In Maine,
okay. His son played football on the high school team. They loved the coach. The coach died. And he was in the savings and loan business, so he developed a loan that would allow the coach's widow to stay in her home, and thereby was born the first reverse mortgage. It has a colorful history since then. As I've said, we're just scratching the surface on this show. There will be more of it. But if you want to know more, look at our website. We'll link to Marshall or come in and talk to us. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week live. This is the Van Wee Financial.